So the reading's taken from Acts chapter 16, verses 9 to 15. That night, Paul had a vision in which he saw a Macedonian standing and begging him, "Come over to Macedonia and help us." As soon as Paul had this vision, we got ready to leave for Macedonia because we decided that God had called us to preach the good news to the people there. We left by ship from Troas and sailed straight across to Samothrace, and the next day to Neapolis. From there we went inland to Philippi, a city of the first district of Macedonia. It is also a Roman colony. We spent several days there. On the Sabbath, we went out of the city to the riverside, where we thought there would be a place where Jews gathered for prayer. We sat down and talked to the women who gathered there. One of those who heard us was Lydia from Thyatira, who was a dealer in purple cloth. She was a woman who worshipped God, and the Lord opened her mind to pay attention to what Paul was saying. After she and the people of her house had been baptized, she invited us, "Come and stay at my house if you've decided that I am a true believer in the Lord." And she persuaded us to go. This is the word of the Lord.
Let's pray together. Loving God, we thank you for your word to us this evening. Lord, we pray that as your spirit opened Lydia's mind, so you would also open our minds tonight. Help us to listen to you. Challenge us, inspire us, and encourage us. In Jesus' name, amen. Tonight we are continuing our series Connecting with Culture, and to begin with, I have a challenge for you. The challenge is going to come up on the screen, but I'm also going to draw it on here. Some of you may have seen this before, in which case don't come up yet. The challenge is, can you connect all nine dots using only four straight lines without taking your pen off the piece of paper? Hands up if you think it's impossible.
So everybody thinks it's
possible. Hands up if you'd like to have a go, but if you haven't seen it before. Four straight lines. Don't take your pen off the piece of paper. Jules, have you seen it before?
No.
You haven't seen it before, but you think you can do it? So you think you can do it? Go on then. Come on, Jules. No pressure, because nobody else put their hand up. So they all think it's possible, but no one's got a clue. Four straight lines. Don't take your pen off the paper.
There's no restrictions on the
shoes,
though, is there?
Four straight lines. No, go on, just try it. One.
Two. Three.
Four. He's done it. Yeah, go on, round of applause. Hands up if you think you had to stay inside the nine dots. You see, that is the challenge. You can only do it if you go outside of the box. But I didn't say you had to stay inside the box. Well done, Jules. You're right, Ellie. He's good. So tonight we are thinking about Lydia's story and how we connect with culture. Now, in many ways, Lydia was a very unlikely person for Paul and his friends to connect with. She wouldn't necessarily have been the first person that you would assume that Paul and Silas and Timothy and Luke would have shared the gospel with. But Paul was prepared to think outside the box in order to connect with culture. So tonight, I'd like us to consider, in what ways was Paul thinking outside the box? And in what ways was he able to make connections so that we might be inspired and challenged as we seek to connect with culture today? So firstly, the place that Paul went to, the city of Philippi, was perhaps not the kind of place you would think would be easy to share the gospel. Philippi is now part of northern Greece, but when Paul went there, it was part of Macedonia, and that was separate. Now, Philippi was a key city in the area and was probably the urban political centre of the eastern end of its plain. It was originally Greek, but at that time it was a Roman colony, so its population would have been a mixture of both Greeks and Romans. The official language would have been Latin, but it's quite likely that Greek would have been the everyday language. So Philippi would have been quite a cosmopolitan place, a city full of hustle and bustle, with people involved in business, in trades, in politics. This was the city that Paul went to first to take the gospel into Europe. Now, on paper, Philippi might seem something of a tricky choice to share the gospel. A mixture of Greeks and Romans, people who spoke Latin and Greek, people who were really focused on business and politics. How would Paul tell those people about Jesus? But for Paul, Philippi was a key city to take the gospel to. It was a city which people travelled to and from. And it was a place where people of authority and influence both lived and worked. In fact, Philippi was a very strategic place to establish a church. Paul saw it from a different perspective. He saw it for its opportunities rather than its barriers. Paul was thinking outside the box. Above all, he knew it was a place that needed the gospel because he knew Jesus could make a difference to the people that lived there. Now, there's much talk today about the relevance of Christianity in the UK. People say, we're living in a multicultural country. Once we were a Christian nation, people say, but that's not true anymore. And there are questions too about the relevance of Christianity in a country where people are immersed in business and politics, where values and lifestyle seem so different to those that Jesus modelled. But think again about Philippi, an important city in the country, a mixture of commerce and politics. A city that was multicultural, where people were proud of their roots, where people were speaking different languages side by side. A city where people lived with different standards and values as they mixed both their Greek and their Roman heritage. Does it sound familiar? Is city life really that different today? I think there are times when it can be easy to feel that the world we live in our Christian circles, is poles apart from the world of our work colleagues or neighbours. We long for people to know Jesus, but where do we start when they seem so disinterested? But we shouldn't be fearful of the authority and the influence that's seen in Chelmsford or in London, or be put off by the fact that people have different values and different priorities today. The challenge we face is not that different to the challenge faced by Paul when he ventured into Philippi. And like Paul, we're not alone. God is with us and we need to follow his leading as we seek to tell other people about Jesus. So Paul thought outside the box in the place he visited, a cosmopolitan city. And he also thought outside the box in the person that he connected with. When Paul reached Philippi, the first person he met and spent time with was Lydia. In many ways, Lydia was a surprising first contact for Paul to make. Firstly, she was a woman. We know that at that time, women weren't highly regarded. Lydia was also a Gentile, yet she was a God-fearer. Somehow, even before she met Paul and his companions, Lydia had come to recognize in Judaism something very attractive and wise that she couldn't find in the pagan religions. And so Lydia worshipped God. She wasn't a local woman. We heard she was from Thyatira. And she was a businesswoman. Now, the business that Lydia was in was as a dealer in purple cloth. And this implies that she was likely to be quite a rich lady. The Romans especially valued purple dye. Kings and magistrates wore purple robes. Commanders wore togas that had a purple border. And this purple dye came from a little shellfish. And the dye had to be collected drop by drop. And it was extremely valuable. So Lydia was actually working at the top end of the market. One commentator describes her as the Karen Millen of Macedonia. So Paul's first encounter was with a rich businesswoman who was a Gentile who worshipped God. And Paul sat down and told her about Jesus. You see, it doesn't matter if somebody is wealthy or poor, if they're a company director or unemployed, if they're married or single, male or female. Jesus is relevant to everyone. In Lydia's case, she already had a knowledge of God. What she needed to do was to understand about Jesus so that she could follow him. Her needs were different to some of the other people that Paul met and that Jesus met. But she still needed to meet with Jesus. Paul was prepared to think outside of the box, to speak to someone who in many ways was not an obvious choice for a first contact, but actually was someone who became the founding member of the church in Philippi. Because the good news of Jesus is relevant in all places, and it reaches out to all people, crossing barriers that humans might put in the way, meeting all kinds of need. There might be times when we are reluctant to share our faith with certain kinds of people because we think, for various reasons, they just won't be interested. But Paul's example challenges us to think differently. In particular, these verses remind me of the importance of sharing the gospel in our city and in our workplace, not just to those who have obvious needs, but to those people who in many ways look like they've got life sorted. Because at the end of the day, when they drive up their driveways and their gates swing closed behind them, when they walk into their house and shut the door, Jesus still wants to invite them into his everlasting kingdom. No matter how much security we build around ourselves, we can't buy our health, our happiness, we can't buy eternal life. We can't make ourselves exempt from pain or suffering. But one day, we are all invited to share such a place with the living God. Surely everyone deserves the right to hear about such an invitation. We may be living a long way from Philippi, but I don't get the impression that Lydia was that different to many of the people that we meet every day. The people that we work with, the people that we pass by in the streets, need Jesus just as much as Lydia did. So let's be inspired tonight by Paul to think outside the box in the people we reach. And let's look now at what we can learn with how Paul connected with people. Ali read to us that when Paul arrived at the city, the first place he went to was the river. And he went there because he thought there might be some Jews gathered there for prayer. Now, it appears that there wasn't a synagogue in Philippi, and that's probably because to establish a synagogue, there had to be at least 10 men. And these people who were praying seemed to be all women. So they couldn't establish a synagogue, but they did meet to pray together. So Paul went to the river and he met with a community of people who knew about God, and he used that as an opening to tell them about Jesus. So often the way to engage with people is to find that point of connection where we might be able to establish a base to share our faith. Now, some church planters refer to this as establishing a bridgehead. Now, apparently, in military operations, a bridgehead is formed when troops successfully land behind enemy lines and are able to establish a small defensible foothold there, which is then expanded as more troops join the force. And that first foothold is known as the bridgehead. Paul's bridgehead in Philippi was the place of prayer. So my question to you tonight is, where might we be able to find a bridgehead? And how can we make that connection today? Perhaps, like Paul with Lydia, there may be people that we meet who already have a spiritual awareness. And so they're open to God, but they don't yet know Jesus. Those people are already convinced that there's more to life than the here and now. They don't want secular satisfaction. They want more than that. And perhaps our connection with them could be to point them to Jesus, the way, the truth, and the life, so that they might find life in all its fullness. Perhaps the connection might be a common interest, people who are like-minded and share the same enthusiasm for something, where a bridge can be built and an opportunity given to say something of the relevance of Jesus. Are you part of a book group, a quilting circle, a photography club? That through these interest groups you can find a way to share your faith. Alternatively, it might be a common need that a group of Christians identify and seeks to meet, and in that environment they're able to say something about Jesus. Now, we're already engaged in some of those kind of connections through a lot of our activities at church, things like toddlers and Victoria Club. But what new needs might emerge as the community around us develops? And how can we use those as a way to connect with other people? Or perhaps some of your friends or colleagues are in the midst of a life change. Changes in the season of life can often be great opportunities to connect people with the gospel. A new baby can leave people in awe of the mystery of new life. When children go to university, that empty nest feeling can leave people searching. An approaching retirement can leave a sense of loss and a lead to a search for purpose in life. Jesus can speak into every one of these circumstances. And as we identify them, they can be our way to connect people with the gospel. Like Paul, we need to be able to listen to God and find points of connection to enable us to share our faith with others. Clearly for us, we wouldn't go to the riverbank and look for people praying. We might look, but I doubt we'd find them. But the principles that Paul used can still be applied to connect with groups of people and to tell them about Jesus. And when we do that, it might be, just as Paul experienced, that one person particularly makes a connection with us. Now, it's interesting that Lydia is the only one of the women that was named. I'm pretty sure she wasn't the only one who listened to Paul. She was the one in the group, though, that he connected with. And quite often within a group of people, I found that you particularly connect with one individual. It might not even be that they are the first one to respond, but they might be the person of influence within a group, one that others look up to, and because of that, they are key within the group dynamics. In my experience, that person is worth looking out for. The good news of Jesus is as relevant today as it was when Paul was travelling. It's as relevant in Chelmsford as it was in Philippi. It makes a difference to us just as much as it did to Lydia. But we need to respond to God's word, to be ready to be used to continue his mission in words and in actions, so that the good news of Jesus can continue to change lives today. Finally, having looked at how Paul went outside of the box in order to make connections, there's one final point I want to highlight from this passage. And that is that we all have a responsibility to witness, but it's God's responsibility to bring salvation. So often I've had people say to me, they don't want to tell others about Jesus because they're not an evangelist. It's not their gift, so they can't do it. And in some ways, I can agree with what they're saying. We're not all called to be like Paul, to travel around from city to city telling people about Jesus. But we are all called to witness, to share our faith with the people that we meet day by day. Now, I know this is a daunting prospect for most of us. But the good news is we only have to be obedient in witnessing. What happens after that is entirely up to God. Verse 14 makes this perfectly clear. Paul was the missionary, but it was God that was at work as he opened up Lydia's mind. Paul spoke, God opened her mind to hear. And I think this is really important for us to remember. Most of the time people don't come to us saying, I want to know more about Jesus. We have to go to them, seek them out and tell them, just like Paul did with Lydia. But it's the Holy Spirit who works in them. So we don't have to feel overburdened by the response. We need to be faithful to God's leading, and then we need to trust God to sort out the results. So tonight I want to encourage you to think outside the box in the places and with the people that you share your faith with. I want you to prayerfully consider where you might be able to establish a bridgehead to be able to connect with people. But in all of this, remember, it's our responsibility to witness. It's God's responsibility to open people's hearts and minds in order for them to respond to him. Let's pause for a moment of silence and then I'll lead us in a prayer. Loving God, we thank you for your word to us. Thank you for the example that Paul set to us as he spoke to Lydia about you. And Lord, we pray for each of us that we would be aware of your leading as we meet and connect with different people at home, at work, wherever we are. Lord, help us to recognise the opportunities that you give to us. Give us boldness and confidence to share our faith. And help us to trust in you for all that happens afterwards. In Jesus' name, amen.